Om Agana Divinandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Kadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Devapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Siddhi Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. So before I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'd just like to mention that this is a book that I wrote. It's called Hope This Meets You in Good Health in English. It was published in English, in Europe and India, but now we're publishing it also in America. It's also published in Russian and Spanish and Polish and Croatian and Serbian. But if anyone would like a copy, I have a few copies here. We ask around $15 for them. They're also available on Amazon. It's about, half the book is about everything I could find or others could find and the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and in Prabhupada's purports and other stories from the devotees about health. And the second part is about, it has articles that I wrote about health over the years, over 20 years, principally on Ayurveda and some other subjects such as other subjects like yoga. So we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, chapter 17, the Lord travels to Vrindavan. And I guess I should read the chapter summary. The following summary of the 17th chapter is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakura in his Amrita Prabhaha Bhasya. After attending the Rath Yatra ceremony of Sri Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to start for Vrindavan. Sri Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodar Goswami selected a Brahmana named Balabhadra Bhattacharya to personally assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Early in the morning, before sunrise, the Lord started for the town of Kataka, north of Kataka. He penetrated a dense forest and visited many tigers and elephants, whom he engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Whenever he had a chance to visit a village, he would beg alms and acquire some rice and vegetables. If there were no village, he would cook whatever rice remained and collect some spinach from the forest to eat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with the behavior of Balabhadra Bhattacharya. In this way, the Lord passed through the jungle of Jharkhand and finally reached Varanasi. After taking his bath at Mandi Karnika Ghat at Varanasi, he met Tapana Mishra, who took the Lord to his place and respectfully gave him a comfortable residence. At Varanasi, Vaidya Chandrasekhara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's old friend, also rendered service unto him. Seeing the behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one Maharashtra Brahmana named informed Prakashananda Saraswati, the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis. Prakashananda made various accusations against the Lord. The Maharashtriya Brahmana was very sorry about this, and he brought the news to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inquiring from him why the Mayavadi sannyasis did not utter the holy name of Krishna in reply, In reply, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that they were offenders and that one should not associate with them. In this way, the Lord bestowed his blessings upon the Brahmana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next passed through the Pradyag and Mathura and then went and then took his lunch at the home of a Sanodiya Brahmana, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He bestowed his blessings upon the Brahmana by accepting lunch at his place. Thereafter, the Lord visited the 12 forests of Vrindavan and was filled with great ecstatic love. As he toured the Vrindavan forest, he heard the chirping of parrots and other birds. So I'll just read the translations until verse 14. On his way to Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the forest of Jharkhanda and made all the tigers, elephants, deer and birds dance and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That all these animals were overwhelmed by ecstatic love. Good time to be an animal in the Jharkhanda forest. So we pray, take birth, let it be an animal in some Jharkhanda forest somewhere in some universe where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happens to be passing by. Because Prabhupada said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could get the animals to dance and chant, but maybe we can get the two-legged animals to dance and chant. We're not so powerful as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but... Jai Jai Gora Chandra Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gora Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Dvaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. When autumn arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan. In a solitary place, he consulted with Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar Goswami. The Lord requested Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar Goswami to help him to go to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I shall leave early in the morning and go incognito, taking the road to the forest. I shall go alone and not take anyone with me. If someone wants to follow me, please stop him. I don't want anyone to go with me. Please give me your permission with great pleasure, and do not be unhappy. If you are unhappy, I shall be happy. If you are happy, I shall be happy on my way to Vrindavan. Upon hearing this, Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar Goswami replied, My dear Lord, you are completely independent. Since you are not dependent on anyone, do whatever you desire. Dear Lord, kindly hear one petition. You have already said that you will derive happiness from our happiness. This is your statement. If you will please accept just one request, we shall be very, very happy. Our Lord, please take one very nice Brahmin with you. He will collect alms for you, cook for you, and give you prasadam, and carry your water pot while traveling. When you go through the jungle, there will be no Brahmin available from whom you can accept lunch. Therefore, please give permission to at least one pure Brahmin to accompany you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I shall not take any of my associates with me, because if I choose someone, all the others will be unhappy. Such a person must be a new man, and he must have a peaceful mind. If I can obtain such a man, I shall agree to take him with me. Purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu formally went to South India, a brahmana named Kala Krishnadas, not the one who has his disappearance today, went with him. It was Kala Krishnadas who fell victim to a woman, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to take the trouble to free him from the clutches of the gypsies. Therefore, the Lord here says that he wants a new man who is a peaceful in mind. One whose mind is not peaceful is agitated by certain drives, especially sex desire. Even though he be in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a man will become a victim of women and will fall down even in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya is so strong that unless one is determined not to fall victim, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot give protection. The Supreme Lord and his representative always wants to give protection, but a person must take advantage of their personal contact. One thinks that the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative is an ordinary man, he will certainly fall down. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want a person like Kala Krishnadas to accompany him. He wanted someone who was determined, who had a peaceful mind, and who was not agitated by ulterior motives. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Prasharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Sitarna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Udarara Manatmanam Atmanam Avasarayat Atmaiva Yatmano Bandur Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha Pandur Atmatmana Stasya Yenayivatmatmana Jita Anatmana Sushatrutve Varte Tetmaiva Shatrutvat Chitatmana Prasantatsya Paramatma Samahita Chitoshna Sukutukeshu Tatamana Pamanayo. A man has to elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself, that the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For one has conquered the mind is the best of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, the very mind will be the greatest enemy. When one has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. He has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, are all the same. So the aim of the Hare Krishna movement is to conquer the mind. And the mind is defeated, or is absorbed in material consciousness when we come under the influence of false ego. Under the influence of the false ego, we think ourselves to be products of the material nature, and we want to control the material nature. And ultimately, to avoid problems in the material nature and to find some kind of happiness in this material existence. So, as we know, conquering the mind means to absorb it in Krishna consciousness. But in order to absorb it in Krishna consciousness, we have to also give up that tendency to try to want to enjoy the material energy. So that desire to enjoy the material energy manifested as the false ego is supposed to be taken away at the time of initiation. For that reason, it is explained that at the time of initiation that one is supposed to become as good as Krishna. According to one verse by Śrīla Jīva Goswami, but that becoming good as Krishna is not so easy. It means that one actually has to accept the fact that we're dasa, dasa, anudasa, gopi bharata pada kamalayor, dasa, dasa, anudasa, that were actually, practically, the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. That's supposed to be initiation, changing our identity from being Godas to Krishna Das. But as we can see, taking initiation itself, throwing some grains in the fire, getting another name, doesn't necessarily mean that. Initiation, therefore, is called the beginning of practicing, trying to become Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. And the main impediment is called our upadis, our conception of being black or white or Russian, American, Chinese, Martian, male, female. So many conceptions, everything except Aham Brahmasmi and Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor. So these two are problems because they, especially the material concept, limits our experience to a material concept, which means our body and things in relation to the body. Deha, Patya, Kalatra, Adishu. That we acquire Deha, the body, and then we want Kalatra, the wife, Apatya, children, and all kinds of other things as Saneshu, as means of protecting my existence. Because after all, since we're eternal, we want some eternal existence. But we're trying to find eternal existence in the temporary material nature. But since we're eternal, naturally we want something permanent. And we want to be happy. That's the goal of life for everyone, is to find as much happiness for as long as possible. But under the spell of the false ego, we misunderstand that what our security can be, where we can find real security, where we can find real awareness of how to be happy permanently. So, initiation is supposed to be part of the process by which we can find eternal happiness. We can get the knowledge to obtain eternal happiness and give up our false ego and false identification. But we can see that they're always, Maya is always trying to trick us. And instead of actually expanding our consciousness, sometimes even in spiritual movements, we find that our consciousness is limited by material conceptions, and we think the material conceptions are actually spiritual, which makes it extremely difficult to give up when we think a material conception is actually spiritual. And that's quite easy to think like that, because spiritual life is beyond the false ego, which is quite subtle. It's actually on the spiritual platform, and therefore it's easy to mix up spiritual and material concepts. Even we can understand some basically misconceptions that other movements may have, but sometimes we miss out on the conceptions that we may also have that prevent us from giving up our false egos. For example, in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami advises us, Dadati pratigrinati goyamakati pristiti unte bojayate chaiva shadvidam priti lakshanam, that offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad, that these are the loving exchanges that the devotees engage in. And in the next verse, Guru Goswami says, Krishneti yasa giritam manasadriyeta dikshasi chat pranitibis shabhajantam isham Shushu Shaya Shabajanam Anyananya Nindati Shunya Rideyam Ivsita Sangya Labhya. That one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name. One should cooperate with those who are initiated and worshiping the deity. And one should faithfully serve that pure unalloyed devotee was advanced in undeviated devotional service, and his heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he's in this nectar of instruction, he's explaining about how to act on the Madhyama Adhikari platform. Madhyama Adhikari platform means the beyond the liberated platform, or nishtha. Because actual devotional service begins with nishtha. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nishoshiti, Nakangshiti, Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu, Madhvaktim, Lavate, Param. That we can enter into real devotional service when we act at least on the platform of nishtha. Nishtha means that we're supposed to be jolly. And why are we not jolly? Because we're full of anxiety. And what is that anxiety? Because so many people we like, so many people we don't like, so many people we couldn't care less about them. Matter of fact, most people we couldn't care less what's happening to them. And there's a variety of material relationships that we have. So this is called Maya. And in those relationships we have with the varieties of people, we're committing aparad, basically speaking. We're offending them in some way or another. Now, of course, I may be saying I love you, but actually what we're really saying is I would love to exploit you. But because I'm civilized, I'm only going to exploit you in a legal way. And those who are not civilized, they exploit each other without any restriction. But in any case, I love you in the material world means I want to exploit you, either in a regulated way or in an unregulated way. Of course, love is a symptom of the soul, and love could also be expressed in a devotional way, even in the material world. There's no reason it has to be material. And therefore, we have to transcend if we want to enter into devotional life, because love can be there in a household life, in a grihastha life. Grihastha life is meant for loving exchanges between everyone in the family. Although grihastha life generally means there is going to be some regulated exploitation, but one is supposed to transcend that regulated exploitation by practice in family life, so it actually eventually becomes pure love. Like in a family like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur or other great acharyas' families. So that takes practice. That's what sadhana bhakti is meant for, to develop love, actual love or bhava bhakti, and it can be executed in any ashram. But one should know what the purpose of the ashram is, so that it actually comes to bhava bhakti or actual love. So that means that one has to give up the conception that I am the Lord of anything. That I am the Lord of even my family, that I am the Lord, that I am the husband, or I am the wife, or I am the child. That actually I'm the servant of my wife, I'm the servant of my husband, I'm the servant of the children. I'm serving them because I'm the servant of my spiritual master in disciplic succession. And ultimately, I'm the servant of Krishna. And therefore, I learned from our acharyas and from my spiritual master how to serve everyone, especially in the beginning, the members of my family. That the Hare Krishna movement is not meant to destroy families. It's meant to create a universal family, a spiritual family, an unlimited family. And therefore, we may practice in any ashram how to expand our family into, or make it into a spiritual family. That's the whole aim of the Hare Krishna movement. But if I think I'm a man and I don't think I'm a servant of Krishna, then I'll get into trouble. Or if I think I'm a servant of Krishna and I don't think I'm a man when I'm a man, I'm also going to get into a lot of trouble. If I'm in a Cadillac, if I'm in a Volkswagen, or a Polski Fiat, if you've ever been in one. Polish Fiat. And I think I'm a Jaguar, and I try to drive my car like a Jaguar when I'm actually a broken down Ford or other company. Then I'm going to get into a lot of trouble on the road. I have to know what kind of car I'm in so I can drive it appropriately. At the same time, I shouldn't think I'm the car, so that when I stop at the gas station, I fill the tank up with gas, and I fill my mouth up with gas, too. There's a hum car. I am the car. So we have to transcend that conception of life. That actually, just like Priyavrata Maharaj, he was married, although he was a renunciate, but due to the orders of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, and so under the desire of his father, Swayambhuva Manu, therefore he became a ruler of the universe and accepted a wife. So although he had accepted a wife, and his wife behaved appropriately, dressed nicely to inspire him, and gave the proper glances and inspiration to inspire Priyavrata Maharaj. Because if she would have acted like a brahmacharini in the household life of the ruler of the universe, then we would have had a lot of sannyasinis in the universe. But the universe is not meant for sannyasinis, and then we don't have the next generation doesn't exist. There has to be some inspiration. And therefore, Priyavrata's wife acted appropriately so others could follow her example. And Priyavrata Maharaj reciprocated appropriately, but within his heart he was a great soul and was not affected by a desire to exploit his wife or his children or his kingdom. Although externally he acted as if he was a attached householder, inside he simply acted as a servant of Krishna. So that's the aim, that's what we're practicing to become in any circumstance. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Guruhana Tari Desh. That we're supposed to practice that with everyone. That whoever we meet, we should try to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. That's what the real meaning of a spiritual master is. When there was a very confusing conversation that Prabhupada had with the GBC in May 1977, asking about who will become a future spiritual master and how the initiation process go on while Prabhupada was still present. There was a lot of confusion, what Prabhupada said, but ultimately he repeated twice in that conversation that verse, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh. That's the real meaning of spiritual master. Now, we may assume so many roles. Matter of fact, we are assuming so many roles. Luckily here, none of the men are dressing like women. And the women aren't generally dressing like men either. So, we have more or less appropriate roles that we're playing. And all the roles we're playing are ultimately meant to engage others and ourselves in Krishna's service. That's why we generally dress in dhotis or tilak or kunti mala, or we chant Hare Krishna, we dress in saris, so many different things to help give an example and to inspire others to become devotees of Krishna, to advance in some way in their devotional process and come to the platform of bhava, love, actual real love for Krishna. And for everyone and everything related to Krishna. And the basis of that is our relationships with others. And therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says that the association of devotees is specifically meant to cultivate bhava, or love, loving exchanges, appropriately. And any interference with that, any inappropriate relationships we have, they're called aparads, against devotion, against the desires of Srimati Radharani. And Initiation, for instance, is meant to help us act on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, on the liberated platform. When generally in the material world, we see others, they become our friends if they can give us something, because we're hankering for something. And others become our enemies if they're threatening to take something away from it. But for Krishna, there is no friends and enemies, because he has nothing to gain here, nor does he have anything to lose. So for a devotee who's actually in Krishna consciousness, actually in love with Krishna, actually in love with everyone, he doesn't care about people taking things away from them, because he's not identified himself with the material energy or any part of the material energy. Nor does he need anything for himself to develop his love for Krishna and others. Although he may maintain his body nicely in Krishna's service, but he understands that everything is controlled by Krishna, and therefore he tries to learn tolerance in the face of a gain or loss, praise or fame, or defamation, etc. Therefore, as Krishna is aloof from praise and gain, from honor and dishonor, so the devotee tries to practice that and simply concentrate on developing his loving service to Krishna and for Krishna's devotees. So that's best practice in the association of devotees, so that we can, each for a prema, we can actually love Krishna. The whole idea is to love Krishna, but as the branches and the leaves of a tree are not different from the root, so by serving the root, we also serve Krishna's devotees. So each for a prema, and for the devotees, there's maitri. There's friendship, and for the innocent, there's kripa. So we get together, we practice, because we need some kripa, most of us. I don't think, Mahabhagavats, even the Hare Krishna movement, are not so common. Those who are always in ecstatic love for Krishna 24 hours a day. It's not a very common thing. And therefore, all of us need a little bit of kripa. Or as Vaishyasika Prabhu once said, I live to be corrected. Not that I live so that I can correct others. And anyone who wants to touch my feet, of course, let them come and be purified, but don't touch my false ego, or you're going to get into trouble. A little bit different from, I want to touch your feet, and I live for being corrected, which is a rather more devotional attitude. We have the field of activities to try to love Krishna, but we also want to help the innocent. And we're all, to a certain extent, innocent. And there are many people out there who are potentially devotees who are also innocent. And at the same time, we're not trying to associate intimately with the non-devotees, because unless we're in a very advanced platform, then we might become affected by their bad association. And instead of thinking about Krishna when we're associating with them, we'll think about something else. I may go on Facebook or some social media to spread Krishna consciousness, but I may become affected by so much gossip and other types of useless prajalpa at the same time. So many devotees have sworn they're going out into the world to start a business so they can support the Hare Krishna movement, so all the devotees won't be in anxiety about finances. But if that was true, I don't think any of us here would be in anxiety about finances. It hasn't quite happened yet. Matter of fact, many of the devotees have gone out with the determination to go out and support everyone. They may be well supported now, but they're definitely not supporting the Hare Krishna movement. We want to act on the Madhyama Adhikari platform in order to be doing pure devotional service. As Prabhupada writes at the end of this purport here, that there are three things he mentions. peaceful mind, not agitated by ulterior motives. Determined, peaceful mind, someone who's determined, had a peaceful mind. So I mentioned about peaceful mind. Determination is only acquired once we get out of the false ego. Then we can serve Krishna with determination. And we can give up our ulterior motives. So these are all about coming and acting on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, on the liberated platform. So what is the main obstacle, which I'll go over tomorrow, but just briefly mention. Generally speaking, even in the Hare Krishna movement, we have a tendency to create groups, as if Krishna is in someone's heart and he's not quite in some other person's heart. So that's called illusion. Believe it or not, according to Bhagavad Gita at least, that Krishna is equally in everyone's heart. And that service to Krishna has to, according to Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, has to be not according to some designations that we impose on others, including even the idea that I've been initiated by someone. Now, I may be initiated by someone and naturally feel that I'm their servant. But their service is to teach me how to serve others according to the instructions of Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. How to give up my false ego, even identify myself as solely the servant of one devotee, that if that devotee is actually in the disciple succession, then he teaches me how to become a servant of all the other devotees. Appropriately. Not blindly, not out of sentiment, but according to how much they're enthusiastically and determinedly and correctly, appropriately engaged in loving service of Krishna and his devotees. That anyone, even amongst my God brothers or sisters, who doesn't follow very strictly, but if they chant Hare Krishna, then I respect them within my mind, but I don't intimately associate with them out of some false idea that they're on a special category, that I don't have to take into account Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī's instructions. I just sentimentally associate with people because of some designation. Similarly, I cooperate with all the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, according if they're actually determined to serve Krishna and have given up the false ego of thinking themselves a body, but are thinking themselves to be the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna, then I equally associate with all the devotees and exchange, cooperate with them on that basis. Because they're actually on the liberated platform, acting on the liberated platform. And anyone who's superior to me in enthusiasm and good behavior in Krishna consciousness and knows how to properly reciprocate with the other devotees and exchange love with them appropriately, then I learn from them that art of devotional service. And that way I can make advancement. And if I don't appropriately associate with any living entity, what to speak of the devotees, but especially the devotees according to Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, then I'll be committing aparadha. And not only that, but even within my group, of whatever we may have a group, because it may be initiated devotees, maybe temple devotees, it may be country devotees, whatever. Even within that group, if I don't learn the art of transcendental loving service to Krishna and the devotees, then we'll simply fight with each other in that little group, or big group, whatever it may be. If we don't learn how to become transcendental and act with every living entity in terms of the relation with Krishna and their degree of service to Krishna, then we'll discriminate simply on the material platform, and on the material platform we'll simply fight with each other. Who's the greatest? Now, because that's the material platform. Everyone is trying to become the greatest. Even they're humble, I'm the greatest. I'm so humble that even Krishna has surrendered to me. I'm so beautiful, I'm so well, I'm so many things that certainly I'm the best. In the material world, if one has the best stamp collection, they're the best amongst those who are interested in stamp collections or butterfly collections or any kind of collection. On the airplane I saw there was some movie, I didn't watch the movie, but I saw it was like 3 or 4 seats ahead of me, so I didn't hear anything. But I could see it was about some football player, probably in Peru, it looked like. Couldn't really, because it was Peruvian Airlines. And it was like unbelievable, the little I saw, how much glorification they gave this person because he could kick a ball. It was like unbelievable. The whole country was seemed to be, at least a good portion of it, dedicated to this person who can kick a ball. So that shows how much illusion people are in. How much enthusiasm they can generate out of something which has nothing to do with reality. Itevidu Swarthakatim, he Vishnu, Dharashya, ye Bahir Arthamanina. So we don't love Krishna. We don't love Krishna as devotees. We're not trying to come to bhava, or at least practice loving. We don't do it appropriately, our devotional service. Then we'll wind up with some insignificant, appreciating things that are insignificant, which will not develop our love for Krishna. And on that basis, we'll compete with each other, that I can kick a football better than you can, or something else like that. Or my Sikha is bigger than yours. Or I sing like a nightingale and you sing like a crow. Therefore, I'm good and you're bad. I don't like crows. But everyone loves me because I'm a nightingale. So on this false conception, we'll simply compete with each other and wind up being envious, because that's the nature of the material existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Oh,
we have a collection of questions. Is that...
This is the card I wanted to give you.
Okay, thank you. Any other any questions? Yes.
The verse, one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Prabhupada put it in the Bengali back to God at Govardhan. Krishna Surjasama Maya Hai Andakar Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. But here today you read that in the company of Supreme Lord, the Kala Krishna Das became the victim of Maya. But it says that in front of Krishna there is no presence of Maya.
Yeah, because Kala Krishna Prabhu Das never came into the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or wasn't sufficiently in his presence. Just like we have the deities here. Do we think that Radha Shyama Sundara is something different from Krishna? Or that Gaur Nitai here is something different? Aren't we in the presence of the deities, of Krishna? Do we ever fall into Maya? I think we probably not do as good as Kala Krishna did. Because apparently he didn't fall down, he just got allured, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dragged him back. But therefore we should not be so confident that, you know, if I was actually in the presence of Krishna, I wouldn't have that problem. But we are in the presence of Krishna, and sometimes we have a lot worse problems than Kala Krishna does. So we shouldn't take it so lightly. We have the same opportunity that Kala Krishna Das had, and we don't necessarily take advantage of it either. And sometimes Krishna literally has to drag us back to him. Yes?
Could you speak a little bit about the dangers of false renunciation on one side?
Could you speak a little bit about the dangers of false renunciation on one side and then being lax and getting into sense gratification on the other?
Yeah, therefore one should know Yakshastra Vidim Utsrija Vartate Kamakarata Sasidim Avapnoti Nasukam Naparam Kitim. One should know what is one's duty and what is not one's duty by the regulations of Shastra, and knowing such rules and regulations one should act so that he can gradually become purified. Therefore, two verses Krishna repeats twice in Bhagavad Gita. Arshrayam swadamo viguna paradharma sunistita shredharme nididam shreyat paradharmo bhayavaha. It is better to perform one's own duty than to perform someone else's duty. Destruction in the cause of one's own duty is better than to follow someone else's duty, because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. So we have to know what our duty is. If we don't know what our duty is, we'll do the wrong thing. We'll get into trouble. Therefore, one has to study Scripture and practice it. Otherwise, we'll never find out what our duty really is. We'll always be insecure. Only when we hear Scripture and actually memorize it and then assimilate it and then see it, can we become convinced how we should apply it in our existence so we can actually develop proper relationships with others and come to the platform of feeling ourselves to be part of a spiritual family, develop love for Krishna, and develop the qualities of a pure devotee. So if we don't go through the process, we'll always be confused and bewildered. But we think learning Shastra and practicing it is not so important. Somehow or another, I'm going to read a book on how to win friends and influence people, and my life will become better. Maybe it will, because everyone in the material world has Krishna in their heart, and they've learned something from him. But for the devotees, it's going to always be, I don't think these authors actually can answer your question, because they don't really know what their duty is, ultimately. They don't know what their ultimate duty is. But we can learn that from Scripture, and that will make Krishna will help us. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. If we practice correctly and sincerely, and to understand these things correctly. Yes?
Well, I have another question.
Well, he has a question. He had his hand up. No, I couldn't. Any other question?
Going like one step forward in the subject matter of Kala Krishna.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada is saying that he is in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he's actually in the presence. And it's not that he's not in the presence, but if you can, like Srila Prabhupada said, you can always misuse your free will. And Krishna never touched. And you always have that prerogative, so you can use it. Can you say something about that?
Yeah, well, we always have that choice, just like we're here now, and therefore we've used our free will correctly, because we've decided to identify ourselves as Krishna, the servant of Krishna's servants, and we come into the temple to practice becoming a better servant of Krishna's servants. So that's properly utilizing our free will. But sometimes even when we're in the temple, we may forget that, and we may identify ourselves with our gross and subtle body and become interested even in the temple of somehow or another becoming serving our body and our mind and neglecting the service of the devotees and of Krishna again. So that tendency, the free will, is always with us. But we're practicing utilizing our free will correctly. That's called sadhana bhakti. And by doing that, gradually we'll get a ruchi, a taste, a happiness in Krishna consciousness, and that will help us give up the misuse of our free will when we get the higher taste. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Earlier in the class, you said that we often make mistake of confusing a material concept as spiritual. Material, yes. Conception. Can you give examples?
Well, to think, for instance, I'm part of a group and that my advancement in Krishna consciousness depends solely on following the instructions of my initiating spiritual master, which it does. But then my initiating spiritual master has to give me the instructions of how to appropriately serve every Vaishnava. But to think that I can serve my spiritual master and not serve appropriately every devotee, that's a misconception. And if I have that misconception, then I'll be limited to being a neophyte Vaishnava. I'll never come to the real platform of devotional service. Is that clear?
Yes.
I don't think anyone preaches like that. It's just a general conception there, at least I find some devotees have, or many devotees have, that I can surrender to my spiritual master and that he'll save me. At the time of initiation, he took all my reactions to my sinful activities, and somehow or another, if I just keep some relationship with him, or maybe not, because he's so merciful, that it doesn't really matter what I do, but somehow or another, I'm going back to Godhead. In spite of the fact I may not have the most perfect relationships with other devotees, or what to speak of the innocent, or what to speak of my association with non-devotees may not be perfect either. But somehow or another, I've gotten some inconceivable mercy that no one can conceive of, really. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Ki Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.